Yata vairan vandena marchastan mayatamiyat datata bhakti yogena iti me nishchitamati. Narada Muni continued, By devotional service one cannot achieve such intense absorption in thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one can through enmity towards Him. To have enmity towards Krishna is basically to be a demon. So the verse on the surface level is saying that the demons are greater than the devotees. Devotional service can't compete with demonic service. But Prabhupada luckily has given us this explanation, because externally that's the real siddhanta of this. One thought came to my mind was that in Christianity they have this section in one of part of their Bible, Revelations, where, I'm not sure who's speaking, but the statement is that I think it's God speaking, actually. Does anyone know who spoke Revelations? I just know the quote. Who? Quoting Jesus, is it? All right. Anyway, the quote is this, that the person speaking says that, either Jesus or God, says that, to the effect of this, that I prefer somebody to be hot or cold. And if they're lukewarm, I spew them out of my mouth. So, hot or cold, you know, someone who's really, and then later it says in that section of Revelations that, you know, these people who are simply trying to adorn themselves with wealth and fine clothes and society, and have no, but those are the people who are in that category of lukewarm. You know, those who are actually ignoring God. You know, that's what God doesn't like. He wants to reciprocate with whoever it is, and whatever the service is. And what I understand from this verse, the way I have understood it, is that it doesn't matter what service you do, as long as you're not lukewarm. You know, as long as you're fired up and you're giving 100%. You're not, you know, you're not in that middle category. The Bhagavatam has one verse that explains this beautifully. Yascha mudatamoloke, yascha bude paramyataha, tavubo sukamerete, krishat yantarito janaha. So it's saying that mudatamoloke, muda means fool. It's saying there's three categories of people. There's this person who's the fool, and there's this person, yascha bude param. Param means incredible or surpassing or highly eminent. Bude, intelligence. The person who's got incredible intelligence, transcendental person, in other words. So that's two categories. And then the third category, it says, the third category consists of those who are caught in between. This is the beautiful poetry of the Bhagavatam. The third category is those caught in between, which pretty much means everybody. Because, you know, it's like there's the angel and there's the devil, right? There's the theoretical two extremes, you know, someone who's a perfect saint, someone who's an incredible, like, outstanding demon. But most people are in the middle. Most people are caught in between. And it says those who are caught in between suffer. And it says that the person who's an incredible fool and the person who's transcendentally intelligent, they're actually happy. Of course, one's happiness is illusory and the other's happiness is real. But it gives another kind of texture to this understanding of what Krishna's looking for is commitment and 100% He's looking for pure devotional service. This thing is... I took one understanding from this verse that Narada Muni is saying that even if you have enmity towards Krishna, as long as it's towards Krishna, then there's no problem. And if you have, say, a service that's not a conventional service, you have a certain nature and you like to do a particular type of service, but, it's not conventional, it's not mainstream. But would Krishna object to that just because it's esoteric? I don't think so. I really don't think so. A mature society should be able to accommodate everybody's psychophysical nature, everybody's nature to perform devotional service, no matter what shape or form it takes. So what I'm understanding from this verse is that even to this extreme point where your service is to be a demon, that is also should be accommodated. That is also glorious. Narada Muni is glorifying this Shishupal. And from the Prabhupada, of course, is telling us, let's not think that the enemies are more elevated than the devotees. The enemies of Krishna are more elevated than devotees. But this is very kind of profound philosophy here. And Narada Muni is telling us that, don't laugh at anybody's service. No matter how humble it is, no matter how unusual it is, we're all uniquely individual. And so to find that unique individuality is what self-realization is all about. There was one Kami philosopher called Eric Fromm, and he said, it is the duty of every person to give birth to themselves. Right? So we don't quite agree with that, because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhyakabha Noi, it's not that you have to give birth to yourself. Love of Krishna is already there. We're eternally servants of Krishna. We have our eternal natures, our svarup, our perfected spiritual personalities are there within our hearts, and we just have to purify all the modes of nature that are contaminating that sense of identity. That's it's not that we have to give birth to ourselves and suddenly here we are. It's there already, right at this very moment. Our perfected spiritual forms are, we're connected to it, but it's just there's a barrier there of our attachments and desires. I read one interesting definition of Satchidananda that Prabhupada gave. We hear it all the time, that the symptoms of the soul, Satchidananda. And Prabhupada said Sat is eternality, Ananda is blissfulness. But what he said for Chit was that, Krishna is Satchidananda, we're Satchidananda because we're the parts and parcels of Krishna. We all have the same, constitutional nature as Krishna. Now the definition Prabhupada gave for Chit, it was in relation to Krishna. He said Krishna has a full sense of his identity. And I always heard it that, chit means full of knowledge. And I always wondered, what's this full of knowledge bit, full of knowledge, And somebody once asked Prabhupada, I believe, is there something that the spiritual master doesn't know? For instance, did you know who won, some gold medal in the Olympics in 1922? With the spiritual master, does he know everything? Is he omniscient like that? Prabhupada laughed it off, ridiculous, But this is what it actually means. What chit means is that you have a full sense. Full knowledge means you have a full sense of your identity. You know how to act in all times and circumstances. One of the core verses of the Bhagavatam, Etavadeva Jigyasa, tatvam jigyasanatmanaha anvaya vyatirekyabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. It's saying that this is Brahma speaking. Now Krishna speaking to Brahma. It's Krishna speaking to Brahma. And he says, jigyasa, you should inquire into the absolute truth. Jigyasa is to be curious and to inquire. And he says to Lord Brahma that everybody should inquire into the absolute truth up to this point. And what point is that? You know, up to this point where there they are, there's Krishna and Lord Brahma. You know, so everybody should be inquiring into what is the truth up to the point where here I am, I'm right here with Krishna. This is it. It doesn't get any better than this when you're actually in the spiritual world with Krishna. So that's when you've got your full sense of identity. Full sense of identity, you know, no modes of nature. And that's when you're giving 100%. You know, the Bhagavad Gita is telling us, you know, yad karoshi yad ajnasi yad jahosi tadasi yad. You know, it's saying all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer or give away, all your austerities. And why is it saying that? Why is Krishna saying that? You know, that I want all of this, right? Because Krishna, he likes to work out. He wants to also give 100%. That's Krishna's, you know, Krishna doesn't really, he's not so inspired when someone's giving, you know, he reciprocates, yayatamam prapadyante, you know, as you surrender, so you shall be rewarded. As you surrender, so Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna's not so inspired when somebody's just kind of holding back and giving, you know, 50%. So Krishna has to kind of put 50% on the back burner of how he could be expressing himself and you know, enjoying this rasa. It's not fulfilling. It's not fulfilling for anybody if somebody's holding back. If someone's a miser, that's not, you know, miserly mentality. It's never fulfilling to interact with someone who has a miserly mentality, you know. The definition of miser is that I read one definition of laziness, and it kind of corresponds with, you know, you can just transpose the word miser in a sense. The definition of laziness that I read was a lazy person is not somebody who is simply idle. A lazy person is anybody that could be doing more. That could be doing more. So even if you are, you know, like working out and doing things and actually, you know, you're seen to be doing service, but if you could be doing more, that's the issue. That's what Krishna's kind of checking out, you know. Not what you're doing, but what you're holding back. Well, he's also looking at what you're doing. That's also there, you know. But this is like the bigger sort of picture of it. You know, are you, you know, what are you, who are you saving yourself for? What else can I say about this? Oh yeah, one other point I thought of was that, you know, we can understand that what's desired is that we give 100%. And we know that we're not the doers, that Krishna's the doer. And so it's not just by our own endeavor that we can just become pure devotees. You know, okay, I'm going to really try hard, you know, I'm going to really concentrate, I'm going to become a pure devotee. You can't really, it doesn't work like that, you know, because it's just Krishna's mercy that, by Krishna's mercy, that we can make advancement. Krishna's a super soul in everyone's heart, and he fulfills everyone's desire. So we have to desire, that's a fact. But I was thinking that it's everybody's duty. It's all of our duty to actually help each other reach their higher potential. You know, and that what that requires is something that's like discussed throughout the Bhagavad Gita, throughout the Bhagavatam. What's required is to not be envious, and to be the well-wisher of, you know, your fellow devotee. Not just your fellow devotee, but of all living entities. If you have that mood of being the well-wisher, not being envious, and being able to celebrate the victory of other devotees, and to be happy to see them triumph, and to see them make advancement, that's essential. That's really important. That's just as important as making advancement yourself. Because it means that, you know, Krishna sees that you're actually pure-hearted. Then pretty much you don't even have to ask Krishna to sort of help me make advancement. Because if you're actually trying to help others make advancement and facilitate others making advancement, Krishna's automatically going to give it to you. Automatically. In the prayers of Queen Kunti, she says, Srinvanti Gayanti Grananti Bhikshnasha, Smaranti nandanti tavei tamiha, taeva pashyant yachirena tavakam, bhava pravaho paramam padam bujam. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti bhikshnasha. She's glorifying those people who hear and chant and spread Krishna consciousness. She's glorifying those people. And then to me, what is the really key point in that verse? She says, she says, those people who are spreading Krishna consciousness, who are chanting Krishna's glories, who are, you know, learning about Krishna's pastimes, they're making advancement. And the last line, bhava pravaho paramam padam pujam, it means Krishna's lotus feet. They'll actually get to see Krishna's lotus feet. Following the process of Krishna consciousness, you'll get to see Krishna's lotus feet. Right? But she says, inserted in that verse, she says, so those people are going to see Krishna's lotus feet. And the other, who else will see Krishna's lotus feet, are those people who take pleasure in seeing others distribute Krishna consciousness. They also get to see Krishna's lotus feet. And Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gurani Tai ki jai. You know, in a sense, it's like good parenting. You know, good parenting. You know, we'll try and bring out all the best qualities of the child. You know, Krishna's like doing very good parenting with all of us. You know, he's working on all of us and trying to sort of bring our good qualities out. He's guiding us. And in that, I just remembered another part of that section in Revelations that I read, where the speaker says that I express my love by rebuking and disciplining, through rebuke and discipline. through rebuke and discipline, I express my love. You know, which is good parenting. Good parenting means you draw the boundaries, and you draw boundaries, and you keep whoever you're in charge of or whoever is your responsibility within those boundaries for their own safety, and as a part of the nurturing process. So Krishna is kind of doing that kind of to us through so many ways. So we should be doing that with each other also. But of course, you know, there was one class I remember a long time ago, the devotee said, of course, for that to be able to happen, you know, for you to be able to, you know, become a transitional person where you can hear criticism and you can make necessary adjustments. He said, you have to develop a personality that does not scare off criticism, that does not sort of intimidate people, you know, and then sort of give out the message, if you try and correct me, you know, it'll be more trouble than it's worth for you. Sometimes that message is there, you know. And to me, it's actually a disgrace whenever that happens. I'm probably guilty of it myself. But when somebody goes out of their way, they're extending themselves to try and give you some helpful advice, to try and benefit you, basically. Someone's going out of their way to point out something, you know. It may be that there's some mode of ignorance there, you know, they've just witnessed you exhibit some mode of ignorance, you know, and then they try and explain that kindly, you know, humbly, and then the person, you know, how dare you, you know, da 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 da, and they throw it back in the face, you know. So that's, to me, not very un-Vaishnav-like, because we're meant to be humbler than the straw in the street, more tolerant than tree and things like that, you know. That's really what we're meant to be. So, And last point I'll make, and then we can have some questions, is that how can I tie this in? Oh yeah, this isn't. So it says here that somehow or other. Become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Somehow or other become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. My thesis here is that certain conditions are ideal for cultivating that absorption in Krishna, and other conditions are not so ideal, and it makes it harder to become absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Certain conditions promote the mental platform and promote kind of the whole duality of the, you know, being caught in and entangled in the duality of the material world. And certain conditions kind of clear the deck of all that mental platform. We can just get into our service and we can just get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So what are those two different sets of conditions? What I propose is that one of the sets of conditions that is necessary is it's kind of tying back into that original point, you know, that it doesn't matter what shape or form your service takes, as long as, you know, you're able to sort of get absorbed and get into the 100% kind of goal of becoming You know, it's like the vanishing point. There's no ego. You're just doing the service 100%. So it doesn't matter what shape or form that service takes. So for some of us, you know, ISKCON at this point in time, or, you know, whether ISKCON or whatever, you know, or our own mentality or whatever, it doesn't quite, you know, there's a certain service that I would ideally like to do. It's my dream to be able to do this service, right? But at the moment, you know, at the moment, somehow or other, you know, the conditions, the environment, the time doesn't quite allow me to pursue that dream, right? I'm being asked to perform my prescribed duty. I'm happy to do that. But I can't quite, you know, fulfill the dream, you know, of the person that I would sort of like, the type of service I would like to do. What I say is that it's not either or. You know, sometimes you see devotees and they just kind of give up all thoughts of aspiration and of, you know, they just think, well, people laugh at me, or, you know, it's just not possible that society's not mature enough yet to sort of accommodate this level of diversity. So then they just give up their dream and they just do their service, but their heart's not really into it because, you know, there's this part of them that would like to do this other thing. And they're just going through the motions and they're not so inspired, but they figure, you know, if I just keep on keeping on, then, you know, I'll make it there at the time of death. Sorry?
Like disempowering
yourself. Yeah. It's like the law of diminishing returns, isn't it? And then you get sometimes somebody who, you know, they're able to do a very important service for the society, but then, and they could be sort of really influencing a lot of people, and making great, winning lots of territory for Srila Prabhupada, but they've got this dream of playing the electric sitar, you know, or something, and then they give up, you know, doing some worthwhile service in order to just figure out the electronics on how to, you know, put a pickup into a sitar or whatever. You know, I'm just making an example out of thin air, but to me, it's like to be a balanced. It's always a question of balance, and of you know, the Western mentality is always it's either or, but the wisdom of the East tells us it's not either or. It's not like that. You know, everything can be accommodated. So we have to do our prescribed duty, but we should you know, and we can give 100% to that, but we should also try and understand, you know, that concept of chit, you know, the fullness of our identity, you know, what is that, you know, and then start, and, you know, spend a lot of time, spend 100% also on that, give 100% to just doing your duties, to maintaining. We have to all maintain. We're in the material world, so we have to do that, and we have to also have this other ingredient to be, so that we can actually, you know, that other ingredient is important in terms of awakening that unique individuality that's within all of us. Just doing your prescribed duty, just going through the motions, isn't going to awaken that unique individuality, right? And the other thing isn't going to be by itself either. Both those ingredients need to be together. The chemistry starts to happen. And then, you know, you become a transitional person. You're starting to head towards that fullness of your identity. And if it ends up that your service is to be a demon, fantastic. That's, you know, that's perfection. So is there any questions or comments? Yes, Mangalahari?